All right, how to get a girlfriend is the topic that we are discussing today. And I've been a girlfriend many times throughout my life, and I know how to be a girlfriend and be gotten, but I have an expert on the phone right now who is Christian Hudson, who you have heard of before. I have interviewed him in the past about connections, and I think there's other things that I've talked to him about as well. But one of his specialties right now is all about how to get a girlfriend. And I have him on the phone, and I am going to ask him exactly how to get a girlfriend. So, welcome.
Thanks, Marnie. Thanks. Always a pleasure to be back, and great to be here. And it's funny you mentioned it's one of my specialties right now. The funny thing is, this is this has really always been a specialty of mine. All I've ever really wanted since I got into this wonderful, wacky world of dating advice was to have a really beautiful, loyal, reliable girlfriend. And I didn't ever really aspire to be like a pickup artist or any of that. And that stuff just kind of happened along the way because I thought that's what I needed to do in order to, attract girls. But, for the last 5-6 years, it's like this has really been where my head's at. And so I'm really excited to be talking to you about this stuff now because I know you always ask great questions. And just like where my heart's at. So I'm pumped to be sharing it with you guys here.
Oh, I love that. And I am going to say one thing as like a, not a disclaimer, but I guess something to help with the validation. For the entire time that I have known you, you have had several different girlfriends, and they have all been loving, caring, amazing relationships from what I could see and from what I heard from you. So I will say, from even just seeing you, I know that you're not just somebody who's like, I'm going to put out a product about getting a girlfriend. You're actually somebody who, lives the life that he talks about. So that's why, I picked you to discuss this topic. So let's get started. I want to hear, how do you get a girlfriend? What's it all about?
Sure. Well, this is one of those things where I think it's just about everybody's goal, and then they get stuck somewhere along the way. So what I did was I broke this down into a number of phases, and we won't get too deep into the theory. I want to give guys really practical stuff they can use today. Okay. If they're interested in the bigger picture, then I'd, of course, welcome them to come to my website. But the four phases are you got to make a good impression on her. And then you go through this phase called inspection, which is where she's kind of inspecting you and you're inspecting her. And the third phase is going to be intimacy. And then the fourth phase is in love. So basically, impression is the first time you meet. Inspection is the first few dates. Intimacy is, after you've had sex to when you're in love. And then, in love, you're basically in a relationship. Oh. And yeah, and so I see a lot of guys mess stuff up along the way. Obviously, meeting girls is something that really holds a lot of guys up. And I'm going to give you one of my most ninja tricks for that today. And then the dating process is also something that a lot of guys mess up. And, it feels like a minefield. And that's certainly how it used to feel for me. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Finally, a lot of guys think like, oh, I had sex with the girl, so she's my girlfriend. And as you know, that's just not the case. So that whole process is something that guys mess up. And if we have some time, I'm going to get into that today. So that's kind of the big, broad framework of it. And what I set out to do when I created this was just build a system where if I really liked a girl, I could, with pretty damn good reliability, go from meeting her to turning her into my girlfriend and just not having that pain of like, oh, I really like this girl. I've really got a crush on her, and she doesn't like me. And another funny thing that happened when I got into that whole PUA stage, which again, still, it's like I never really thought of myself as one, but I was definitely going out and hooking up in fair amounts and whatnot. The funny thing that happened there was like I would hook up with a girl, and then I couldn't get into relationships, and there was something about me that, and the way I was pursuing the dating thing that really messed me up. So in the course, I also talk about PUA mindset stuff and a lot of the bad stuff that I know you don't talk about, but a lot of other people do, that gets in the way of having a relationship. So with all that said, you want to just jump into the topic of meeting a girl?
Okay, yeah, cool. Because I'm curious now. I'm like excited to hear what you have to say.
All right, cool. So there's a lot that, there's a lot of ways to meet a girl, and I don't want to talk about approaching because that's been covered millions of times in millions of places. And so I want to talk about something that I would call the dark side of kingship. And so one of the things that I found is I rarely, like almost none of my girlfriends have I met through cold approaching. Almost all of them have been through some form of introduction or social circle or what have you. It can take a little bit of time to build, but I've got a little blueprint for that.
Okay.
And I figured out a way to establish like the status, to establish myself as the leader of a group. And this goes such a long way in terms of creating attraction. I'll tell you a brief story. This is from my buddy David, who lives in Singapore. When he was studying getting better with women, he spent a little bit of time in the underground of the Chinese mafioso, which just sounds unbelievable to me. And he saw this really interesting phenomenon where a sort of beta guy would bring a girl into the gang, and you know, he'd be like kind of working the girl and whatnot. And then the leader of the group, you know, or in other words, the alpha, wouldn't ever have to say much, but he could always get the girl if he wanted her. Even if the beta was like, you know, really in love with the girl, even if they'd like, you know, already gone out, because the power dynamics of that group were so they're so severe, you know, like okay. If you're not the leader of that group, you can get shot or, you know, drug out into the field.
And, okay.
You know, it's like, this is like the
gangs.
Just
like
you know?
In the United States.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So the point is the power dynamics were very important and went a long way towards establishing attraction. And, you know, I'm not by nature an alpha male. David is not by nature an alpha male, but we set out to figure out a way to like kind of hack this so that we could attract girls in the same way without having to, you know, be alpha male douchebags or like jerks or anything right. Like that. So here's kind of how this works in practice. I would tell any guy, you know, be the leader, try to be the leader of some sort of scene that a girl would want to be a part of, and find cool, unique guys who compliment you to, you know, to be a part of that scene. So in my life, how this worked out is I just like to throw dinner parties. And, you know, when this is very different, obviously, than a gang, right?
Yeah.
I don't have like a mafioso crew around me, but I like to throw dinner parties. And I put a fair amount of social energy into throwing these dinner parties because my feeling was the energy I put into that, I enjoy my time more than if I, you know, put it into going out and meeting new people, you know, via cold approach. So I just really hustled to make a few cool friends, you know, get some people coming to the dinner party. And then what I would do is that, like, this is where it starts to get really subtle, is A, I'll like give tasks and approval to guys in my group. So like if we're cooking,
guys.
I'll have
to guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So I'll give a guy a task to do, like, and it's very simple, right? It's like, hey man, can you go get some ice for me from the store? Or hey, can you chop this pepper for me? Or hey, you know, can you go change the music for me? Very, very small things,
okay,
right?
So you're the leader. You are the
exactly.
one in charge of everything. Okay, cool.
Exactly. So, you know, it's funny. We just had a guy on our forum ask, like, well, I'm a poor college student. How do I do this? And I said, well, listen, you know, the funny thing is you don't have to be rich. You can get other people to even pay for the food if you're just the one who's organizing. You know, it's kind of the promoter concept, right? The promoter doesn't bring the money. He just brings the people and connects them with the money. So you give little tasks like that to guys. You give them approval when they do it. Like, and this is just really subtle, but like, you know, when a guy brings in a bag of ice, you'll, you know, look at the ice and you'll be like, huh, I don't know, man. You sure there weren't any bigger bags down there?
Right.
You know, just kind of mess with them a little bit. Like, you know, no, I'm just messing with you, dude. Good job. Thank you. So that's one of the things. Another one is giving subtle approval when everybody's going nuts. So like, let's just say everybody really loves the meal or a song comes on that everybody loves. Like this will happen at the club, right? You're out of the club, like the new, I don't know, Flo Rida song comes on and like everybody starts to go nuts. And like, they're like, ah, and you just kind of get this wry little smile on your face. Like you're an insider, almost like you were the one who like picked the song.
Right.
And it's, the way that you're giving your approval in that moment is very, very subtle, but anybody who's looking at you is noticing like, oh, like he's a little bit cool, he's a little bit laid back. A third thing that you're going to do, this is huge. It's so funny. I was just out in Miami last week with my girlfriend and with some of she's actually related to this like top promoter down there. And like just watching the way that he interacted with people, I was like, you know, he's never taken any of my courses, but he just naturally does this stuff.
Yeah.
Is selectively ignore people when they talk. So like if you're in a conversation, someone comes up to you and like they start talking to you, you can like I don't want to say completely ignore them, but you just like don't shift your head over for a minute or two. Or maybe you're like, you know, in the room, you're in the room and you're like on your iPhone and you're like, you know, typing a text message and somebody like tells you like, hey, dude, you know, what's up? Like, you know, we're about to go somewhere. And you just kind of like ignore them for about like 10, 20 seconds. Then you pull your head up and you look at them and you're like, sorry, what's up? You know, so it's like, that's one of these little things where it just creates really high status for you because it shows that you're not like super reactive to the people around you.
Oh, exactly. I can actually visualize everything that you just said. You have a really great way of explaining and expressing in spoken word. And I can actually see everything. And I don't know, this is my specialty, but I can attach the emotion that I would feel. And I can visually imagine being attracted to somebody who would do something like that, no matter what they look like, how much money they had. But literally those behaviors that you just explained would cause attraction in me, or right, at least pique an interest.
They're very like high status behaviors.
Yeah, definitely. That's basically
where I learned them, is just from watching high status. Let me give you one more.
Yeah.
If we got time for it.
Yeah, for sure.
One is, okay, this is the most secretest tip that I've got, and it
Ooh,
came out,
I like it.
It was created by accident, but it works like gangbusters. So I call it, this is a ridiculous name, it's like the genius acolyte and the bozo straw man.
What?
So, yeah, right. So here's how this came about in my life is I've just by virtue of what I do, and I'm very fortunate for this, I have a lot of people who work under me or who look to me for leadership or mentorship. And okay. I think that's, you know, great when a man can develop himself into a person who has those things. You know, whether you're a dating coach or just you've got a regular job or you're a student who just, you know, helps other people, you know, get good grades, right? Whatever it is, if you can develop yourself into a leader that other people kind of need or at least look up to, then you can use this. So here's how it works, right? Is when you're talking to a girl, and this works great on like a first date or a second date, is there's going to be two characters in your life. And I would hate for them to be fictional. A guy could make this up, but in my own life, they've always been real. So the genius acolyte is like, it's like your star protege. It's the guy who's like learning from you and you're so happy for him. And he's like, he's just doing such a good job, right? And so in my life, for example, this has been various employees at various times.
Okay.
The bozo straw man is like, you know, a straw man is the guy who you like knock down, right? That's like in politics, it's like the guy who takes the fall. So the bozo straw man is the guy who like, you're a little annoyed by him and you're a little frustrated by him. And it doesn't like, it's no big thing. Like it's not ruining your life. It's almost something you laugh off, but...
Oh, I just pictured like five people that I know who
okay,
fall in that
right.
category. Yeah.
Right. So the way that you have this conversation with a woman is you kind of talk about these people in the following ways. I'll just give you an example of how this came out when I was dating my current girlfriend, or when we were starting to date. As I would talk about this guy, Fran, who he works for me, and he's my genius acolyte, right? And he's like... Okay. I'd be like, yeah, you know, like he's doing such a good job. Like I've been teaching him all this copywriting stuff and he's been like just learning all the tech systems and he's just so motivated to really contribute to the cause. I'm just so proud for him. And you notice I'm not like, it's very subtle. I'm not being like, yeah, I taught him everything he knows. But it's a very subtle form of giving approval and showing that this person who she has met in this case is doing a really good job at something. And so in that case, I'm positioning myself as this very high-value authority figure who has power over this other individual. And
right.
to the extent that you know, she meets and or, you know, sort of likes that individual, that's going to, you know, go a long way in her attraction towards me. It's like if she values – it's very simple, right? Like if you value X and then X values Y, like you by transitive property value will value Y. Sorry to get into the theory.
No, but that's okay. But it's nice. What you're basically saying is like it's like how you talk about a person, because you still put
right.
yourself in a higher position, but you're not being an arrogant asshole who's saying right. like whatever, I taught him everything that he knows. He wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for me. You're saying it's really impressive how, you know, this guy who I started working with 5 months ago has suddenly become a superstar and it's fantastic.
Right.
And I'm the one, you know, who did give him that extra push. And
yeah.
That's sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it's just like I'm proud of him. You know, that's the real emotion you want to convey. So the flip side of this is the bozo straw man, and this is where it gets really good. So around this time, and again, I'll just use a practical example from my life. I had two guys who were staying at my house who are sort of unmotivated to do much with their lives. And I just, it wasn't intentional, but I came up with the names Taco Bell Boy 1 and 2 because I felt like if Taco Bell was casting for a commercial, like, you know, the kind of the guy who they look for, I think is, you know, I don't want to sound like judgmental, but like, you know, he's maybe a little lazy. He likes to play video games, not like tremendously motivated. He might smoke a little bit of weed. Right. He does, you know, so like if Taco Bell was casting for a commercial, like these two guys would have been like perfect fits. So I called them. I'd be like, yeah, you know, like I got Taco Bell Boy 1 and 2 staying at my house tonight. And, you know, she'd be like, oh, like what, you know, why do you, and I would tell that story. And, you know, and whenever I would talk about them, it was never like, oh my God, these guys are driving me nuts. It's like, man, they're over again. Like, okay, you know, honestly.
And you can laugh at it.
Yeah, you can laugh at it. And you got to set boundaries with people like that, though. You can't be like the guy who's like, because a girl won't respect a guy who lets other guys invade his space too much.
Right.
So you got to show that you've got boundaries. Like, yeah, you know, they're like, I'm kicking them out in about a week, but like, I'm just letting them crash there for now. It's all good. So,
yeah.
So when you talk about other guys in your life in that way, it really establishes you as this alpha, but you're not like a jerk alpha. You're not like an asshole alpha. You're just like a natural leader. You're like a 10, like we like to say. So,
well, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because we're talking about getting girlfriends right now. So every attribute and quality that you've explained for me as a woman, when I do see men who act like this, men who can take charge, men who can be leaders, subconsciously, these are men who can take care of things in the long term. That's what I would be looking for in a partner. So all these characteristics are great exhibits of what a girl would want in a boyfriend or a long-term relationship.
Right, exactly. So
then
you
how
got,
do you, how
you've
do
got
you
such a great way of you know, just going into the psychology. It's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
So we could talk about it. So, I mean, look, that's a very, very small segment of like, you know, meeting a girl, right? Like there's so much more that can go into it, but just that sort of stuff. If a guy starts doing it, I know he'll get, you know, better results. Do you want to talk about like what happens if he's on a date, like some stuff to talk about?
Yeah, okay. A lot of the guys that I work with, it's so funny how it all happens in pockets for me. But like one of my clients yesterday was saying, I am great on first dates. I think that I've made a connection with them, but then they don't call afterwards. So it's wonderful. Everything that you talked about was about establishing who you are and how a woman can visualize you for, you know, the long term. But then how do you, what's that like middle ground there in getting the first, second, third, and eighth date?
Sure. I'll give you a few broad categories and we can drill into a few tips.
Perfect,
The first one is lead with your vision and values. So this is something that's really, really important. Everybody who really gets it, like it's a huge win. So I think, you know, a lot of guys get worried about what I would call the bigger, better deal. And I know that the girl that actually sent me into a tailspin and made me decide that I needed to get better with dating, it was funny. Like I had a lot of money at the time and I tried to just impress the hell out of her on some really expensive dates. And after 3 dates, she like didn't want anything to do with me.
Right.
And I realized that that's because I was trying to get her to buy into my job and my money and like, you know, the periphery of me, but I wasn't trying to get her to buy into me. What you want to do on a first date, I think, besides, you know, all the flirting and having fun and all that, is my goal is to really get a girl to buy in to my vision for what I want for my life and what I want to create in the world. It's, you know, so my vision, right, is I want to help men become better men. That's like the big vision. So when I tell a girl, like, yeah, I'm a dating coach, and she's like, oh, like, are you like, you know, from the pickup artist? I'm like, no. You know, so you get into this great conversation about what your vision is for the world and like what you really want to do. And vision gets into motivations. It answers the question, why are you doing what you're doing?
Right.
So this is a great conversation that is for a first date, because if you've got great motivations about why you get up in the morning, why you live your life the way you do, you know, why you do the job that you do and why you're trying to make changes in the world and the way that you are, it's just so sexy. Like that's something that a woman can really buy into in a guy that requires no money. It doesn't matter what he looks like. It's like, is he passionate about his vision and about affecting real positive change in the world? And if she can buy into that, And she can be like, wow, like what this guy is on a mission to do with his life is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm really attracted to that. And you know, even better if she's like, I secretly hope I can be a part of that in some way. I want to be his teammate.
I want people to associate me with that guy.
Right,
that's,
right.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you're thinking. It's like, that is a guy that I'm proud to say from across the room, yeah, I'm here with him.
Right, exactly. And I know when he goes off and has another conversation with some of my friends, or he's meeting some people who, you know, my parents or some people he's never met before, he's not going to run some attraction technique. He's going to talk about, you know, who he really is, what drives him, what his vision is, and other people are going to get just as excited as he does. So it's vision and values. Like, your values are the why behind your vision, right? But if you... If that's what your goal is to talk about on a date, is like talk about yourself in that regard, and also to learn what hers are, what's her vision, what are her values, what does she want to do with her life, even if she's not doing it. Like, you know, listen, there's a I've met a lot of people. You know, Marnie, you and I are in this industry where we're around like people who are all about improving themselves and dedicated to doing it, and that's a huge step beyond where most people are. So I've been on dates with girls who like they're not quite there yet, and like. You know, and it takes a little bit of work, and you've got to say, well, you know, if you could do anything with your life, or like, if, you know, forget what you're doing right now. Like, what's your real dream, and what's your real like? If you could just do something without failing, like, what would it be? So,
oh, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second, okay?
Yeah.
Because this is an important part too, and I want you to give an example. So, when you are in this sharing mode and you're expressing like what your passions are, and what, you know, you're asking her as well, like, you know, like, what do you feel really passionate about? What wakes you up in the morning? What would be the best way to respond to what she's said? Because I have a lot of guys who, you know, I've talked to who they'll say something and then I'll say something and give like my heart and soul to the response. And then they don't acknowledge that they've even heard a word that I said. They just continue talking, which is great because for them that means we're having rapport. But for me, I feel like my words have been ignored and unheard. So can you give an example of like how to do that?
Sure. And you know, that's, I guess that's kind of that rookie error where you're so worried about getting things right on your own that you're not able to really focus on what's going on. I mean, one thing I would always tell guys on like first dates, if they're nervous about stuff, is like, just give it like a 3 or 4 second count after a girl's answered, just to like let things sit in and think about things. Like, you don't need to rush into it. One of the things that I love, I talk about in the program, I talk about positive versus negative tension. Like positive tension is when, you know, you're like walking hand in hand with a person and you know that kiss is coming up and it's like a little tense. Negative tension is like, you just, you know, said something disgusting about her mom and she's pissed off.
Right.
You know, like, so I actually like to savor the positive tension, because if you're a guy who can sit comfortably in that for just a moment, it shows a lot, it shows so much confidence and so attractive. So if you gave like a really great answer, right, my general inclination is just going to be like, I'm not going to rush to do anything. I'm just going to sit there and like look deeply into your eyes and get like a smile on my face and just like be like, wow, that's awesome. You know, and just slowly, right?
That just made me smile and I didn't even say anything.
Aw, thanks, Marnie. Well, that's always how I feel when I talk to you. But yeah, you know, seriously, that sort of thing is just, that's where you're letting that positive tension sit. And she's like, whoa, like, this guy's controlling, like, she's not thinking this, right? But like, subconscious, if she had words and she had a framework to describe it, she would be like, whoa, like, this guy's letting this positive tension simmer. And like, I'm so nervous. Like, does he like me? Does he not? Like, oh, this feels so good. Like, wow, this is fun. This is, it's like, it's just visceral. So, you know, and then following up from that, I honestly, one of the things that I always like to do is I always like to ask why. Why is just a great follow-up question. Like, why do you feel that way? Why did you want to do that? Or you can ask for motivations, like, what made you do this? Or what in your life caused you to think this? Or, you know, what experiences have you been through that shaped you, that made you want to do this? You know, anytime you're driving towards motivations, ultimately what you're driving towards is values. And people have relationships. Like, the reason we stay together with people is because we have similar values, right? Like, obviously attraction is a big part of it, but like, if you're going to raise a family with somebody, the crux of it is like communication and values. And so that if you're driving towards values and you're able to really make her feel good about her values,
yeah,
like, wow, that's so cool that you know that you think that way. Like, so many few people actually, you know, feel that way about, you know, whatever it is we're talking about.
That is great, because that's where connecting points happen with two people. And that's where, as a guy, you can also decide, this girl isn't really for me, or I'm totally into her now because, you know what, she just showed a huge value that she has, and I really respect that value.
Exactly.
So then how do you take that into, like, I can see, you know, how this goes into a relationship afterwards. But so how does having this type of communication during a date give you a better chance of getting her to be your girlfriend?
Let me give you one more. You said guys are having a hard time on first dates. Moving to second, I want to answer your question, but I do want to give you one more thing that there's actually a whole lot that I could give. Let me jump into two quick tips, and then you tell me if you like them. Okay. The first one is very simply, on the end of the first date, what I like to do is, like, I typically like to go for a kiss on the cheek, and I don't even go for a kiss on the lips. And I'll go for a kiss on the cheek, and I'll, like, give her this big wry smile. It's like, you know what? This is an amazing time. We might just have to hang out again sometime. And it's funny because, again, you know, some girls, like, and there are some girls who you want to move faster with, and I've got, like, a way to figure that out. But I just found that by not pushing for sex or, frankly, for anything on the first date, when I'm in charge, when I'm the one who, like, assertively and authoritatively goes in for the kiss but then goes for the cheek, it sort of, like, flips the script, right? She's like, wow, most guys, like, are nervous in this moment, and they go for the kiss on the lips and blah, blah, blah. And it just does this thing, and I've had girls tell me this, like, you know, I didn't know why you didn't kiss me. I didn't know if you liked me or not, and I wasn't certain. And if she's had a great date and then you do that, it leaves this open question in her mind of, like, you know, does he like me? Like, am I going to hear from him again? And that open question is exactly what you want to have playing up over the next day while she's waiting to see, is he going to ask me out again? So that's just one thing that I always do. One other little tip is what I call live in the moment, flirt with the future. So
I like all these names.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
So at least they're not, like, you know, DHV spike volume, you know.
No,
points.
I love it. I'm starting to implement that as well, because it's easier to remember. It's like, okay, now I can do this. Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in live in the moment, flirt with the future is not just a technique. It's more like a mindset that you take. So the way I think about it is this. Like, I know that when I was younger, I used to really, like, look for confirmation from girls. Like, oh, you know, are you having fun? Like, you know, so I was really thinking we could do this thing next week. Like, are you available on Tuesday? Like, you know, really trying to, like, lock the future down. That's something that I used to do a lot, because I came from this very insecure place.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I was out with a girl who I liked, it was kind of this weird thing where I didn't have fun with her, because all I wanted to do was lock down the next date and ensure that she would still be in my life. And so I was so nervous about that, that I never actually, like, enjoyed when I was with her. So this sort of reverses it, right? When you're in the moment with her, you want to just, like, live in the moment with her. And when you're, you know, just have fun, smile, enjoy your time with her. And when you're flirting with the future, you're going to be dropping little things, right? Like, so flirting with the future would be like, oh, you haven't been to Artichoke Pizza? We totally got to go there sometime. Or, you haven't seen the Blue Man Group? Greatest show. Okay, like, I think they're coming up in a few weeks. Maybe we'll have to go to that. So anytime you talk about the future, it's maybe. It's like, it's never like you're trying to lock it down. Yeah. All you're trying to do is, like, just, you know,
you're planting seeds.
Yeah, you're planting seeds. That's it. So you're flirting with the future, like, you know, but I don't know, like, I that's only if I still like you in a few weeks. I mean, you could do something that, yeah, you know. So yeah, that's flirting with the future. And I just want to make sure that, again, on first date and second dates too, like, guys start to get a little needy and they start to want to lock down the future. I want to make sure that they know not to do that. So in terms of, you know, to get back to your question, I know we're probably getting tight here on time. Your question was basically, like, how do you transition into a relationship, or how does this stuff matter when you transition into a relationship? And, you know, here's the thing, right? Is I always think, like, when you're getting into a relationship with a girl, there's a few things that are going on. There's does she really like you, like in terms of your values and your vision? And are you somebody who she buys into? Does she have a great time with you when you're having fun together and out? And so you got to have some dates that are really fun. Like if all your dates are dinner dates, that's not good.
Right.
Does she find you attractive? And that's, you know, going to be happening throughout all of this. And you know, is she sexually turned on by you? And there's some ways that, you know, we talk about doing that. But the underpinning of it all is like, if you're going to get into a good relationship with a girl, you got to connect on visions and values. And, you know, that's like, that's always where I start. Everything else flows out from that. Yeah. But that's absolutely got to be the underpinning of it.
Okay. No, I love it. Everything that you've said, because like, I'm not sure if anybody who's listening can see the steps that you've been going through, but it's basically establishing yourself, which you are this person, you know, if I don't want you faking who you are, but establishing yourself as a long-term option. And on the flip side, you know, you're also looking to see if this person is a long-term option. And that's what makes it easier to go to the next stages. If you just have dates where it's like banter back and forth and you don't really tell anything to the other person or show them that you're a great long-term partner, it's not really going to go anywhere. Or you have a lower, there's a lower option of that happening. But from everything that you just described, you're really setting yourself up to get the result of having a girlfriend. And same thing on the flip side for her, for, you know, for seeing if she is a girlfriend material for you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, the final point on that is, you know, look, again, when I was doing all that, you know, pickup stuff, and when I see other guys doing it, the biggest problem that I see is that, you know, they think that being attractive means being disingenuous.
Right.
And disingenuousness is like, it's great when you do it 10% of the time as like a joke, but the other 90%, like you gotta be real, and there's some sexiness you gotta throw in, there's some other stuff. And yeah, the funny thing is, Marnie, is like, I didn't develop the system to like, to go out and like bang millions of girls. Like that was never my goal. And, you know, yet like it works really well in one girl and it works really well in other girls. And so it's like, when you talk and communicate in this way and when you act this way, it's like girls just like you. And you know, use it to get a girlfriend. You can use it if you want to date around. But I just find this stuff is so foundational in terms of getting her deeply attracted to you. Like not just physically, you know, on the surface, but who you are as a person. This stuff is so foundational. And if you just kind of go through, I mean, then look, in the system itself, there's a lot of mechanics. It's like, you know, I gave you one of the mechanics in terms of how to do the kiss on the first date, but there's mechanics of like, you know, how to text her between date one and two. There's mechanics for like, you know, when you greet her for date three, what do you do?
Oh, wow.
There's mechanics for like, you know, after you've had sex, you know, how do you transition from sex to a relationship?
And this is all in your program, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the mechanics are all critical, but like, again, without that foundation of, you know, having this connection with the girls, it's just not going to matter quite as much. So, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. Like,
I know,
you know, a few things that you could keep at your place. I'll give you one other trick. I'll give you one last thing.
I'm going to interrupt you. I do have to get off. I have a call very soon.
Oh, that's okay.
But I know like people still want to listen to what you have to say. And I know I, you know, have known you for a very long time. Everything that you create is like the best of the best, completely thorough. If anybody does want to, you know, get more information from Christian on the Get the Girlfriend Pro, or what is it called? The Girlfriend.
It's called the Girlfriend Activation System.
I like it. The Girlfriend Activation System. I'm going to have a link below and you can check it out. I'm pretty positive that you are going to see results from getting any one of Christian's programs, but I think this one actually sounds like one of your best.
I think it's the best thing I've ever put out.
Really?
So yeah, I'm really pumped about it. I'm like really happy it's out there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm so excited. Well, I'll have a link, but thank you so much for talking. I really appreciate
this. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. Sorry I didn't have time to share more, but again, there's tons more in the course. And, you know, Marnie, we'll have you on for an interview very soon as well.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.